mobile phones with them. I'm thinking of chanting a completely different verse. But we'll do that later. Jaya da da madhava kunjabi hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Hari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Hari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Bana Chauri. Jamuna Tira Bana Chauri. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Vallabha Giri Bharata Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gora Bhakta Brinda.
Let,
Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivajikacharya Ashto Tadashadi Shri Shri Mad. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakura Ki Premsikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadad Hara Siva Sari Gora Bhakta Vrindaki Jai Sisi Radha Krishna Kopkupinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kundi Giri Gavadani Ki Se Vindavan Dham Ki Si Maipo Navajet Dham Ki Si Purush Tam Chetra Ki Si Ganga Mai Ki Jai Si Jumuna Mai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Jai Hari Nam Sankirtana Ki Jai Si Ram Navami Mahotsava Ki Jai Oh glories to the assembled devotees. Oh glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to Sisi Guru and Gauranga. Oh, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Okay. Normally, I would just... go with the verse that's on the board, but it's kind of it's technical. So what I think we'll do is we'll chant first canto, third chapter, text 22. Which is describing the 18th incarnation of the Lord, as described in the Bhagavad Gita. Is that right? 1.3.22? Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text 22. Naradevatvam apana.
Naradevatvam apana.
Surakarya chikishaya.
Samudra nigraha dini.
Chakre virvan. Chakra viryanyata param. Naradevatvam apannaha. Surakarya chakeshaya. Samudra nigraha dini. Chakra viryanyata param. Naradevatvam apanaha. Surakarya chakirshaya. Samudra nigraha dini. Chakre viryanyata param. Naradevatvam apanaha. Surakarya chakishaya. Samudra nigraha dini. Chakre viryanyata param. Naradevatvam apanaha. Surakarya chakishaya. Samudra nigraha dini. Chakre viryanyata param. Naradevatvam apanaha. Surakarya chakeshaya. Samudra nigraha dini. Chakre viryanyata param. Ladies. Naradevatvam apanaha. Surakarya chakishaya. Samudra nigraha dini. Chakre viryanyata param. Nara. Human being, devatvam, divinity, apanaha, having assumed the form of sura, the demigods, karya, activities, chikishaya, for the purpose of performing samudra, the Indian Ocean, nigraha adini, controlling, etc. Chakre, did perform, viryani, superhuman prowess, attaha param, thereafter. In the 18th incarnation, the Lord appeared as King Ram in order to perform some pleasing work for the demigods he exhibited superhuman powers by controlling the Indian Ocean and then killing the atheist King Ravana, who was on the other side of the sea. Purport. The personality of Godhead Sri Ram assumed the form of a human being and appeared on the earth for the purpose of doing some pleasing work for the demigods or the administrative personalities to maintain the order of the universe. Sometimes great demons and atheists like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu and many others become very famous due to advancing material civilization by the help of material science and other activities with a spirit of challenging the established order of the Lord. For example, the attempt to fly to other planets by material means is a challenge to the established order. The conditions of each and every planet are different, and different classes of human beings are accommodated there for particular purposes mentioned in the codes of the Lord. But, puffed up by tiny success in material advancement, sometimes the godless materialists challenge the existence of God. Ravana was one of them, and he wanted to depart. Oh, sorry. And this is an interesting word, or the way that Prabhupada used this. And he wanted to deport ordinary men to the planet of Indra, heaven, by material means without consideration of the necessary qualifications. He wanted a staircase to be built up directly reaching the heavenly planet so that people might not be required to undergo the routine of pious work necessary to enter that planet. He also wanted to perform other acts against the established rule of the Lord. He even challenged the authority of Sri Ram, the personality of Godhead, and kidnapped his wife, Sita. Of course, Lord Ram had come to chastise such atheists, answering the prayer and desire of the demigods. He therefore took up the challenge of Ravana, and the complete activity is the subject matter of the Ramayana. Because Lord Ramchandra was the personality of Godhead, he exhibited superhuman activities which no human being, including the materially advanced Ravana, could perform. Lord Ramchandra prepared a royal road on the Indian Ocean with stones that floated on the water. The modern scientists have done research in the area of weightlessness, but it is not possible to bring in weightlessness anywhere and everywhere. But because weightlessness is the creation of the Lord, by which he can make the gigantic planets fly and float in the air, he made the stones even within this earth to be weightless and prepared a stone bridge on the sea without any supporting pillar. That is the display of the power of God. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Tadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So, why does the Lord appear? Um, paritranaya sadunam vinasaya cha duskritam. Right, to protect the devotees and to destroy the demons, the demoniac, and to establish religious principles. And also to have fun, right? To enjoy. Prabhupada often quotes the aphorism, anandamayo bhyasat, that we are pleasure seekers. Nobody goes out of their way to experience difficulty or trouble. Everybody's working in the pursuit of happiness or satisfaction or enjoyment. So Krishna likes to appear, or Krishna likes to engage in pastimes that are pleasing to the devotees, which is very important here, because he's appeared to protect the interests of the devatas, of the demigods. And one of his purposes for appearing as Lord Ram is to protect the saintly, the rishis. So we see in the early pastimes of Ram, he's killing demons who are harassing the sages, right? And Krishna gets enjoyment out of seeing the devotees happy. So that's also part of his pleasure. We all like to enjoy vicariously. Like, parents like to enjoy the activities of their children. They get great pleasure and satisfaction from seeing their children happy and positively engaged. So even though the parents aren't doing anything, they're enjoying the activities of their children and get pleasure and satisfaction from seeing the children happy. So similarly, Krishna enjoys and is happy when the devotees are happy. There's a certain pleasure from seeing others happy. Do we have any cooks in the room? Hands up if you're a cook. Only one person, two people. I'm sure there's more than only two cooks here. Hands up, mums. When I was a kid, I used to, one of my greatest enjoyments was to go to my grandma's house, because my grandma was the best cook. Unfortunately, it wasn't prasadam, but anyway, she was still a good cook. And my grandmother got great happiness out of seeing everybody else happy. So Krishna enjoys similarly by seeing that the devotees are safe and protected. Although It's interesting, isn't it? Because the material world is designed in such a way where we think we can make ourselves happy here. But that's actually insanity. Because the material world is designed in such a way so that you can't be happy. It has birth, death, disease and old age built in. Huh? Built in. And so any notion of being happy in the material sense is just insanity. Yet in that construct, you know, and the difficulties, the miseries that are brought about by the Adi Devika arrangements, the arrangements of the demigods, in other words, those the karma that we accrue as a consequence of the reactions that we get through the droughts and famine and floods, hot, cold, the distress that comes from the material energy effectively, and the distress that comes from other living entities, adibhautika, miseries, and the stress that comes from the adhyatmika, the mind and the body. The whole material creation is designed in such a way so that its main purpose is to make us suffer. Yet somehow or other we think we can arrange things in such a way so that we're going to be happy. So in that construct, in that situation, Krishna appears. And in this case, Lord Rama appears in order to protect the interests of the devotees, and especially the rishis and the devatas, the demigods. Especially when there are major disturbances, like the disturbances that were created by Ravana and Kumbhakarna and the demons of Lanka, who were acting in competition effectively with Lord Ram. So in that environment, Krishna appears to protect the interests of the devotees. And so it mentions in this verse that Lord Ram appeared to protect the interests of the devatas and also to kill the demons. In this particular case, Ravana. Prabhupada explains how Ravana was opposed to the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the natural order of the creation. And so wanted to defy the authority and the supremacy of the Lord, and such that he plotted, planned, and you know, this is symbolic of everybody's kind of materialistic mentality. He wanted to take Sita from Ram. In fact, kidnap Sita from Ram to enjoy her separately from Ram. And of course, that was the downfall of Ravana. So Krishna appears to protect the devotees, to destroy the demons, and to enjoy, to have fun. And to establish the principles of religion. In the in the Vishnu Tattva pantheon, if you like, or ontology, I was having a chat with Pablo yesterday, a gentleman who's working with us, and he was, apparently every time I talk to Pablo, he's always got a question about who's what. Who's who in the scheme of things? So he heard that we were having a festival today, so he wanted to know, well then, who is Lord Ram? Right? Who is he? And it's very interesting, actually. it's important that we understand or we're aware of the Leela, but we need to also be aware of the ontological position of each of the different personalities. In fact, this is recommended by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's recommended by Srila Prabhupada. And why, you see, when Srila Prabhupada gives classes, very often he concentrates more on the ontological position of the personalities than the Leela. Have you noticed that? And so, and the Shastra and the Acharyas recommend that when we're analysing or when we're discussing or when we're meditating on the activities of the Lord, that we give equal focus and attention to the relationships, to the identities of those individuals. So I was explaining to Pablo how, and we're working on our org chart at the moment. Do you, anybody not know what an org chart is? Don't know what an org chart is. Org chart is, it describes the structure of your organisation, who's in charge, who's a deputy, you know, who's a manager of a department in our organisation, you know, who's a member of the executive, who's the president, who's the secretary, who's the treasurer, who's the head pujari, who's the kitchen manager, right? Now, why would you want such a thing, do you think? Why should we have an org chart?
Fixing responsibilities.
What was that?
Fixing responsibilities.
What was the first word?
Fixing responsibilities.
Fixing. Yeah, yeah. Identifying responsibilities, yes. We are a volunteering or a volunteer facilitation organisation. Right? Volunteer facilitating organisation. This is an official description of an organisation like ISKCON. I know that this may sound a little bit like management, and it is, right? But in Australia, if you're going to manage volunteers and be recognised as, and we have hundreds of volunteers, I don't know if you've noticed, you may be one of them, right? And my friends tell me, you know, people that I meet in the administration of the temple, they tell me, wow, you've got so many volunteers. That's amazing. Right? We were dealing with a fundraising consultant a few years ago, and when they found out that we had at least 1,000 people walk into the temple every weekend, they were just like, whoa. There are organisations in Australia that would kill for 1,000 people walking over their doorsteps every weekend, right? So anyway, having an organisational chart enables volunteers, when they join your organisation, to know who's in charge and who am I working with, who am I responsible to, who am I accountable to. You know, it's for safety, for example, right? It's for safety. It's for training. It's for ensuring things like, especially for us, we have, I don't know if you've noticed, but we have a lot of children in our community, right? It's for the safety of the children. Who's in charge of this particular, like, it's really interesting. I've been visiting Bhakti Vriksha groups every Friday, well, not every Friday, but many Fridays I go and visit. And pretty much for each Bhakti Vriksha group, there are at least one or two devotees whose service it is just to look after the kids, right? Because we've got 40 adults. Where we've got 40 adults, that usually means 40 kids, right? Traditional Indian families usually work out to be mum and dad and two replacements, right? That's the usual formula. That's my experience anyway. So, you know, making sure that everybody's properly trained in child protection, that volunteers are accredited or certainly have had a check, you know, which is the least we can do to protect the children. What to speak of protecting people who are engaged in the organisation. So there's an org chart. It says here's who's in charge, who's assisting, here's the departments. So Pablo said to me, getting back to the topic, we need an org chart to work out who's who in the Vishnu pantheon, right? We need to know, because then we know relationships. And, you know, the first topic of the Vedas is Sambandha, which talks about relationships. Who's who? Right? So it's appropriate for us to know who's who, because that then helps us understand the why of what they're doing. Right? So that when Krishna appears, Krishna's like, well, Krishna is Krishna. Krishna is God. He's the source of everything, right? Anadya Adya Govinda Savakarana Karanam. Right? Ishvaraha Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadya Adya Govinda Savakarana Karanam. Right. So, who is Lord Ramchandra in relationship to Krishna? And what is he doing? Why is he doing what he's doing? So, Prabhupada often describes how Krishna, according to the setting according to the circumstance, and interestingly, according to Krishna's desires, but also according to the desires of his devotees. He appears and performs different activities, different pastimes, appropriate to that setting. And Prabhupada gives the example of an actor, a dramatic actor. Just like a Shakespearean actor can be one character one night in Macbeth, right? And then next night can be a completely different character in another Hamlet, say for example, or Romeo and Juliet. Same actor, but different personality. Huh? In fact, so much so that a very good actor, you may have heard of a famous Shakespearean actor was Sir Laurence Olivier, right? He was made a knight by the Queen because he was such a good actor. So that in his acting, you didn't see the actor, but you saw the personality that he was playing primarily. Right? That's the Leela. So when we see Lord Ram, we appreciate that he's the personality of Godhead. But who is he, actually? And it's interesting. Because Lord Ram is Ram, Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughna are actually expansions, and that's, you know, there's a concept, right? God expands himself into many forms of himself, right? And of course, Prabhupada would quote the Brahma Samhita, how one candle can light another candle, and that candle can have the same potency as the original candle, the same heat and the same light. As an example to explain how God expands himself into another person, but is different. Same, but different. And this is kind of our philosophy, Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva, that we are simultaneously one with, but different from God, because he's the source. Prabhupada often gives the example of the sunshine, right? When we say the sun is in the room, we mean the sun is shining in the room, especially in my office at 5 o'clock at night. It's actually a very pleasant spot to be because the setting sun comes in through the window, right? And lights up the whole room with an orange glow. So we can say, oh, the sun is in the room, but the sun's not in the room, obviously. If the sun was in the room, we'd be cooked, right? So in that sense, same as but different at the same time, right? The energy especially. So Krishna expands himself as himself, also expands himself in different energies. So I often have fun talking to Pablo about these relationships. And it's important that we understand the relationships, because then that makes sense of what's going on in the Leela. And this is why the Acharyas recommend that we understand philosophically, or as I say, strictly, or a proper or a more technical description is ontological. What are the relationships between the different personalities? So some expansions are personal expansions, Some are personal expansions with the same power. This is what we call the plenary. Prabhupada calls the plenary means full. So when there's a plenary expansion of God, that means a full expansion. Who's a plenary expansion of God? Please raise your hands if you think you know. Sorry? Who? Nisringadev. Yes, well, yes, yeah, I guess so. Not sure if he's a plenary expansion, but... Krishna. Sorry, Krishna. Little Krishna. Gaunitai. Yeah, well, I was thinking of Balaram. It's an easy one. Right? Yeah, it gets technical because there are different expansions, but and how do we recognize Krishna as the supreme? Here's a good way to at least separate Krishna from everybody else. How do we recognize Krishna as the supreme God? How many characteristics of Krishna separate him from all of the other manifestations?
Four.
Good. Krishna? What's the first one? How do you what? How do you recognize God? Yes. Especially Krishna. How do we recognize him as the supreme?
Because
he has got
the six opulences.
He's got what?
He's got the six opulences.
What did he say?
Six opulences.
He does have that, but what are the four characteristics that set him apart from all of the other gods? What's the first one? Huh? Yes, what else? Sweet pastimes. What else? What's the first characteristic? Plays a flute. Very, very sweetly to attract everybody. What else?
Beauty?
Tilak. No. I've got Tilak on. Okay, so there are four characteristics that he's surrounded by devotees who are engaged in wonderful pastimes. Krishna is unique in that he has four characteristics that are described by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So, it's interesting. Lord Ram is an expansion of an expansion of an expansion, right? We have Lord Balaram is the immediate expansion of Krishna. And then from Lord Balaram comes... Sankarshan, and from Sankarshan comes the first quadruple expansion, right? That's Vasudev, Sankarshan, second Sankarshan, Prajumna and Aniruddha, right? And Vasudev is pure consciousness. Is the embodiment of pure consciousness. Sankarshan is the embodiment of the attractive feature or the notion of gravity, which is kind of what keeps us together. You know, what stop if Yeah, it's the nature of attractiveness. And Pradyumna is the personification of false ego. And Aniruddha, the personification of the mind, right? So it's interesting that Lord Ram, Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughna are expansions of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. And that one of the characteristics of Lord Ram that Srila Prabhupada emphasizes in the beginning of the 10th chapter of the 9th canto, which describes Lord Ramchandra's appearance, is his implementation of Varnashram Dharma, interestingly enough. And we see in Prabhupada's books where Prabhupada often mentions we need to establish Varnashram Dharma, that a civilization, in order to be civilized, needs to adhere to the principles of Varnashram Dharma. And Varnashram Dharma is a systematic structuring of society, which is the purpose of the ruling kings, right, of the rulers, of the administrators, is to create a civilized society where people can be utilizing their human form not just to pursue animalistic propensities, eating, sleeping, mating and defending, but rather structuring and ordering society so that they can become devotees effectively, right? And becoming a devotee means purification of consciousness, purification of identity, purification of awareness. Look, I was talking to Jamuna Sundari before, and she was telling me how her son was a bit spaced out. She said, he's living in his own world. Which is what most kids are living in it, you know. Well, we're all living in our own world, actually, most of the time, right? And very often that state of being is ignorance, right? You can kind of come up to the kid and, hey, well, anybody home? They're like... just spaced out, right? And that's the state of being for most people. They're only engaging in activities that are related to eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And that's how we think we get our pleasure. But it's very interesting that Lord Ram appears as the righteous king to establish Dharma. And Prabhupada explains that Dharma is established through the Varnashram institution. Very interesting. Right, so that we identify four ashrams and four occupations, right? Or the other way around. Four varnas, four occupations, and four ashrams. And we even see that in Ram's Leela, how, you know, he was an outstanding disciple in his youth or in his student days, right? And then as a householder, an exemplary householder, very much an exemplary householder, and an exemplary king, right? Always uphold, so Dharma Samstapanataya, this principle of establishing Dharma. And of course, if the Dharma and religiosity, the Varna and the Ashram are ordered and structured according to the recommendations of the Shastra, And there are principles for those engaged in their occupational duties, and there are principles for those in the different ashramas, then that leads one to a proper understanding of self, self-identity, which is pure consciousness, right? The idea of following the Varnashram institution is to ultimately become a devotee, right? And being a devotee is the epitome, it's the focus of our actions that brings us to that point of purity, ultimately. And that purity is manifest in understanding our spiritual identity, which is what we're all trying to achieve, right? Is that right? Or are you just worrying about the fact that you're fasting now? And what's going to be on the menu for the feast, right? Now, but the interesting thing is, in Krishna consciousness, that's actually okay. That's also part of our devotional practice, huh? But by doing those things, especially observing a festival like this, where we have some austerity, and in that austerity we're then meditating on the person. We're meditating on Lord Ram, the supreme enjoyer, right? Because he's an expansion of Krishna, but also the supreme enjoyer as a king and as a very righteous and upholder of Dharma, an upholder of Varnashram, effectively. That's what Prabhupada makes this point. And as a young man, as a youth, a dedicated servant of the devotees, effectively, right? A great example for us, Vasishta and the other sages, and as a servant, so was instructed and taught by the guru. And so Krishna himself sets the example of how we should always be respectful to and servants of the spiritual master, and of course servants of the devotees. This is a really important principle, and we see that nature of service, that mood of service in Lord Ram is astounding. It's incredible, especially that dedication to the seniors and to the respect shown to parents, for example, right? Just incredible, you know, it's just mind-boggling. And my father used to always tell me that he did everything that his father told him to do. And I thought, nah. You don't do that, do you? That's just indicative of where I was coming from. But later on, you know, as my father got older and I'd spend time with my mum and dad, and especially with my father after my mother passed away, and Dad would tell me stories, and then I realised I think he actually did do what his father told him to do. That was just shocking for me because I couldn't do that. I wasn't a very good son. But Ram is like that. He was incredibly dedicated in that mood of service, and of course that's Dharma. That's our Dharma, actually. We are servants. And, of course, if we want to be effective as devotees, then we need to be dedicated to the service of our guru. And, you know, we see when Ram was exiled to the forest, he didn't complain. Whereas, you know, my dad told me to go to the forest in that setting. So I would have said, what are you talking about? Why are you so henpecked, right? You know, why are you being bossed around by your wife? Unreasonably, right? From, you know, if we were to step back a little bit and we look at the circumstance, we'd say, that's just not fair. Right? Is that right? That's what people say. That's just not fair. But because Ram was so dedicated as a servant and dedicated to his father, and not only to his father, also to his mother, and of course he had more than one mother, if that's what she wanted, if that's what his father wanted, that's what he did. Isn't that incredible? That's just such an inspiration when you think about it. So that principle of service is exemplified, personified in the character of Ram. Not only of Ram, of Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna. You know, we see when Ram leaves to go to the forest, then Lakshman goes with him. Sita goes with him, doesn't have to, but she's so dedicated to the service of her husband that she's prepared to accept all austerities. And then Bharat, who stays home, accepts the same austerities, even though he stays at home. And, you know, there's a description of how his hair's all matted and he's eating barley cooked in the cow's urine, which would be alarming for anybody, I suppose, who's not familiar. Like, And then when Ram returns... then Bharat brings out his shoes on his head. And, you know, in other words, you know, you're the king and I respect you. Whereas if it was me and my brothers, there'd be a competition, you know. I was the eldest, so my main job was keeping my younger brothers under control. But no such rivalry in this very saintly, peaceful, you know, in one sense peaceful setting. Of course, there's a certain amount of conflict and challenge even in Ram Leela. So another characteristic of Lord Ram was his exaltation of his devotees. And Prabhupada gives the example of Hanuman and how it's mentioned in this verse how Ram wanted to travel to Lanka. But he couldn't. He couldn't. He had to create a bridge to cross over the ocean, the Samudra. And it's interesting because when Ram got to the ocean, it's mentioned that he fasted for 3 days. I was meditating on that. Why would Ram have to fast for 3 days before he Well, actually, he wanted the ocean to come, which he wouldn't, right? I guess, and that's probably why he was angry, right? Because if you fasted for 3 days, you'd be pretty... right? So, but why would he do that? Because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why he doesn't have to fast. But again, in that mood of setting an example, of showing others how to behave, right? Interesting, when he was in the forest, then he didn't have a chance to shave, so he had matted locks. Imagine not what you would look like if you hadn't shaved for 13 years. Woo, you'd be pretty awesome. Right? You know, you see sometimes these naga bubbas, and they got huge, big hairdos, right? Actually, the other day in Kyneton, I saw some looked like they were hippies, but, well, from the hippie era, right? But they're obviously now in their 60s or 70s, like me. And this guy had a big dreadlocks. Before the coronation, what did he do? What did Lord Ram do, and Bharat, and Lakshman? What did he do before the coronation? What's that? No, that's not it. What did he do? He shaved up. Pretty simple. Shaved up. Yeah. Set a good example of, you know, for sacrifice, for jagya, for the abhishek, we make sure that for a festival, what do we do? What's the first thing we do? Any day, what's the first thing we do? Huh? Have a shower. Yeah, clean your teeth, have a shower. And then for the men, especially on a festival day, we should shave. This next thing I'm going to do after giving class is go and see Arjun Shaka. Or Manmohan, whoever's available, and shave up. Right? Cleanliness, in other words. Lord Ram set such a good personal example. And of course, all of these things are ultimately meant, especially for us, to help purify the consciousness, help us. And this is Lord Ram's focus, was to lead the citizenry so that eventually everybody becomes a devotee. That's the purpose of Varnashram. And of course, in the process of doing that, also emphasize the importance of the seniors, importance of the devotees. So he demonstrated in crossing the ocean his prowess, right? His potency. He made the ocean so hot that the fission, the denizens of the sea were feeling the heat. Right, so eventually the ocean personified, Samudra personified, came to Lord Ram and offered obeisances. And then, it's interesting, then Ram empowered because all he had was a monkey army, right? Living in the forest, all he had was monkey soldiers. But those monkey soldiers then stripped the mountains nearby of their vegetation and trees, then threw the mountains into the ocean, and without any support, those mountains were supported so that they could walk all the way to Lanka to challenge, well, to reclaim Sita. And Prabhupada makes the point, the Acharyas make the point, that Hanuman didn't need a bridge. He's superior to Ram in that all he could do, all he needed to do was jump and he could fly to Lanka by himself. Whereas Lord Ram, even though he's the personality of Godhead, and by wonderful, by showing his prowess, he was able to build a bridge with the help of his monkey soldiers that didn't require any support. In other words, he made the mountains weightless by his divine powers. Still, he was glorifying Hanuman as superior to him. So this notion that the devotees of the Lord are superior in one sense to the Lord himself is manifest in the, you know, yasya prasada bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati katopi, that we get Krishna's mercy by the mercy of the devotees. By Krishna's mercy, we get the mercy of the devotees. And by the mercy of the devotees, we get Krishna. So this emphasis on the superiority or the superior position of devotees is an important lesson to learn. And of course, again, why we should be so respectful of and appreciative of and should serve the Vaishnavas, because by the mercy of the Vaishnavas we get an opportunity to know Krishna, know the process actually of bhakti. Of course, that's what Lord Ram taught himself by example and how he engaged the citizens of his state. And Ram Raja is so famous and so popular that even in this day and age people want to duplicate or replicate Ram Raja because of the opulence and because of the atmosphere and the self-preservation, the self-realization that was available for the residents of Ram Raja. So there's the respect for the devotees, there's service to the devotees, and there's as a consequence of that service, then the prosperity and the advancement of consciousness that comes from living in that environment that's so beneficial and so attractive. And why, even to this day, Lord Ram is so revered in society, especially in India. Why Ram is remembered and why he's honoured and even served to this day. So we have an opportunity to experience, I guess, Ram Raja by chanting Hare Krishna. There was a debate between two sannyasis, Prabhupada mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that when we're chanting Hare Rama, one was saying, we are chanting Balaram's name, and the other sannyasi was saying, no, we're chanting Lord Ramchandra's name. Right? Prabhupada said, there's actually no difference. Lord Ram is actually an expansion of Balaram, ultimately, right? And so they're the same. So we got an opportunity to associate with Lord Ram by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, and we have an opportunity to worship. We'll have an Abhishek of Ram, Sita Ram, Lakshman and Hanuman. Oh, there's one other thing I wanted to mention. you know, I was talking with Bhujan Prabhu the other day, and he was saying, he mentioned that people criticize Lord Ram for two things. Well, not only two things, but two things. One is how he exiled Sita, right? And the other one is he exploited the animals, right? Exploited the monkeys. Have you heard that? So I was meditating on that, trying to come to some conclusion as to, and the monkey one's easy because the monkeys are Krishna's servants and they're related, right? They were happy. Krishna's servants are happy to be exploited by Krishna, right? Krishna, if you want me to suffer, I'm happy to suffer, right? On your behalf. It's my pleasure to be your servant and to take on some austerity for your pleasure. Right? Just like, how many of you are parents? Raise your hands, parents. Raise your hands, children. Yeah. So, you know, the parents suffer happily on behalf of the children, right? Raise your hands if you're not. Parents take on a lot of austerity. And what about kids? Do the kids take on austerity for the parents?
Yes.
Yep. Got a immediate agreement. Right? So what a sacrifice. Parents sacrifice happily for their children. There's some concerned looks on some parents' faces here. They're not sure. There is a point in a parent's career where they think, what am I doing this for? But still they do it because they know ultimately, especially if they're devotees, they know this is for my purification. This is my service to my guru. This is my service to Radha Ballabha. This is my service to Gauri Thai. And it makes for a wholesome, healthy community of devotees. And by doing so, we're all purified. Right? So there will always be challenges. And so the monkeys, they didn't complain, you know, why are you exploiting us? They were happy. Right? They were happy to march on the bridge to Lanka proclaiming Ram's glories. And, you know, we're going to go and kill Ravana. They were having fun, actually. They weren't being exploited. That's their natural position. And the same with Sita. Sita was so dedicated to serving Ram. And it's interesting, Prabhupada says in purport I was reading yesterday, he says, Vedic culture produces chaste and faithful women. Right? Chaste and faithful women who will sacrifice anything for the service of their husband. Right? And is serving husbands fun all the time? Please raise your hands, ladies, if serving your husband is fun all the time. No hands coming up. It's a sacrifice. And vice versa. The husband also has to serve. It's not, I'm the boss and you just do what I tell you to do. Right? Usually, who's the boss? Right? It's a partnership. It's always a partnership. Effectively. Ultimately, to be successful. Right? So, Sita was, she wasn't feeling, okay, and it's interesting, Prabhupada says there's another lesson that we can learn from Ramchandra's pastimes. Very interesting. And that is the misery of householder life. Would you believe? Huh? The pain and the anguish and the suffering that comes from attachment. Very interesting lesson to learn, right? But Sita was not feeling, she was feeling separation. They were feeling separation. And Prabhupada makes a point that this is indicative of the personal relationships and the personality of God, that is not impersonal, which is commonly promulgated and propagated in some religious circles, that God is impersonal. But rather, no, he's not impersonal. His identity is in personality, and his identity and his personality is manifest in the relationships. That's why the understanding the ontological position of the various expansions of God, whether it's Shakti Tattva or Vishnu Tattva or Jiva Tattva, we need to understand the nature of these relationships. Why what Pablo was saying wasn't a bad idea. We need an org chart to work out who's who and what the relationships are. And there are some. There's that chart that I think they've got in the shop, which shows Goloka and all of the different levels of existence in all of the planetary systems, from the topmost in the spiritual world down to the earthly, and even lower into the hellish planets. the nature of these relationships is important to understand, and it leads us to understand the nature of the relationships between Krishna and his devotees, Krishna and his own expansions, Krishna and the devotees. And we see especially Krishna and Ram and Sita. We see Sita, the internal pleasure potency of the Lord, always dedicated to his service. Even in the difficult situation where Ram, as the Dharma Raja, wanted to demonstrate to the community, to the citizens of Ayodhya, the importance of chastity and the importance of faithfulness, especially in the relationship between husband and wife. So when Ram was basically spying on the citizens, and he heard one householder chastising his wife who had gone off with another man, and he was saying, criticising his wife. He said, I don't want to be criticised and behave like Lord Ram, who's accepted his wife after she's gone off with another man. Right? Pretty heavy stuff, But why did Ram do that? Was to set an example. He's so dedicated to setting the proper example. And Sita was so dedicated to serving her husband, she understood the principle that he wanted to demonstrate, and so therefore accepted the service of being exiled. Of course, it broke her heart and it broke Ram's heart too, right? It was incredibly heartbreaking for them to do that. But Ram's mission, that establishment of Dharma, was such an intrinsic part of his character and personality that he had to set the right example. And because Sita was thoroughly dedicated to Ram's service and to his mission, she accepted it. And of course, taught, as Prabhupada says, one of the lessons that we can learn from the pastimes of Ram, Sita Ram especially, is the nature of attachment, right? Material attachment, and how it causes suffering, ultimately, anxiety or lamentation, I think is the... Now, for Krishna, separation, for Sita and Ram, that separation is part of the spiritual experience. It is not a material engagement, but rather it is on the spiritual platform, the height, Vipralamba Seva, that height, it's the height of spiritual experience. Prabhupada explains this through the example. You know, we have the saying, separation makes the heart grow fonder. Have you experienced that? You're separated from your loved ones, and so in that separation we feel a stronger affection and a stronger appreciation and a stronger attachment. And so that then deepens our feelings of love and affection for those who are not present. So that in that mood, this, that service of separation is considered a higher experience because it deepens our attachment, it deepens our affection, it deepens our love for our beloved. So, the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra and the pastimes of his separation from Sita are to enhance and to enliven their spiritual connection, their relationship, not on a material platform but purely on the spiritual platform, and requires some meditation or some absorption to appreciate. So, you know, these criticisms of Ram are not valid, because if we look at the nature of the relationships between Ram and Sita and Ram and the monkeys, for example, we see that in the nature of those relationships it's not exploitative at all, but rather it's in the nature of the relationship, in the mood of the devotee, the relationship is deepened by that opportunity to render service, even if the service is rendered in separation. The devotee's affection for, in our situation, we're serving Srila Prabhupada in separation, we're serving Radha and Krishna in separation, but the nature of devotional service is so elevated and so enigmatic, if you like, or esoteric, that even though we're serving in separation, we feel a closer connection to Krishna, right? If we engage, and this is why service to the devotees is so important. By rendering service to the spiritual master, by following the process of bhakti, following the orders of the spiritual master, then we feel closer to Krishna. We feel our relationship with Krishna is being enriched, and it becomes real for us. Confirmed. Yeah. So, some of the characteristics of Lord Ramchandra's pastimes can be puzzling, but and that's why people criticise. Oh, you know, he's exploiting the monkeys. Oh, why did he treat Sita so badly? But that's only looking at it from a very external, shallow perspective. One has to look at the nature of these relationships, understanding the connections, and appreciating the leela in the context of these relationships and how those relationships are deepened by that rendering of service. Today is an opportunity for us to meditate on the pastimes of Lord Ram, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, and get a deeper appreciation for the nature of spiritual relationships, and especially of Lord Ram and his dedication, effectively, to his guru, to his seniors, to establishing Dharma. And that was his enjoyment in many respects. Killing demons, enjoying that too. Meditating on Lord Ramchandra is actually a great opportunity for us to deepen our commitment to Krishna and to service to the devotees, to the spiritual master. Okay. We're going to have the... What time are we having the Abhishek? 10:30. Okay, so we can have some kirtan. Any comments or questions?
Can you also talk a little bit about dealings, relationship between Lord Ram and Hanuman?
Can I? It's interesting, Prabhupada doesn't talk about it very much, other than what I mentioned. He was able to fly to Lanka and Ram wasn't. And so he... And because, see, I have had no exposure to Ramayana. It's difficult for me to talk on the Ramayana because I never heard it. Right? I'm only I can only repeat what I've read in Prabhupada's books. And it's interesting, you know, when I joined ISKCON, Ram Navami was just a day that we fasted, pretty much. We'd often go out on Sankirtan and come back at night and have a feast. But we'd fast all day. And nobody knew any of the pastimes from the Ramayana because we never heard them. Right? So if you ask me, can you tell us some stories about Hanuman? I can't because I never heard them. I can only repeat what I read in the Bhagavatam. So I'm ignorant in that regard. But, and it's a bit like Diwali also. You know, Diwali for us in 1978 was just a name on a date on the calendar. We didn't celebrate it. I used to think, what's that? Diwali, what's that? And you know what? Stop that. You can do that later, okay? Diwali was or is the day before what? What's Diwali before? Huh? Govardhan Puja. Now that was a thing, right? Govardhan Puja was a real thing. I think the second occasion that I got prasadam was Govardhan Puja in 1976, I think it was. My friends went to the temple and they came back home and they had prasadam and they gave me samosas and I was already, you know, vegetarian by then or close to it. And I ate those samosas and I thought, wow. That is far out. Because then they gave me gulab jamuns and I spat them out. I went, oh, what's that? So it's interesting that in ISKCON in the early days, Ram Navami was just a day that you fasted. Right? Diwali was just a name on a date and we didn't do anything, effectively. But then as the Indian community expanded, then we found out, because Diwali, 200 people came to the temple. And the devotees are running around, we got all these people at the temple, now we're going to feed them. So, yep. Now, Krishna Leela, Chaitanya Leela, it's interesting, you know, in ISKCON temples or in Gaudiya temples, effectively, who do we worship? We have Gaunitaya, we have Radha Krishna, we have Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra. And there's only a couple of places, three or four places in the world where Prabhupada actually installed Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman. Right? And where's that? Where's the most famous temple where Prabhupada installed Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman? Juhu. Yes, Juhu. Who's been to ISKCON Juhu? What did you think? What were your impressions of ISKCON Juhu? Huh? Opulence. Yeah, opulence. What else? What's that? Yes, good prasadam. Yeah, Govindas. And just a beautiful temple, just a beautiful... Big. A lot of, yeah, Prabhupada created a hotel. Yeah. Yes, beautiful temple. And beautiful deity worship, right? When I go to Juhu, I feel like I'm in Melbourne. Would you believe? Or I just feel at home. You can roll out of bed and practically speaking, you're in Mangalarti. It's amazing. But, so the emphasis in ISKCON is pretty much, it's the Gaudiya emphasis. And so we find that the worship of Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman is replaced, if you like, by the focus on Gaur Nittai because of the Sankirtan mission, right? And because, and Radha Krishna in the middle, because by engaging in Sankirtan, we are eligible to enter into Radha Krishna Leela, right? And Jagannath Balaram Subhadra, because they're that mood of separation, right? Lord Chaitanya worshipping Jagannath Balaram and Subhadra in that mood of separation is that special connection and that special intimate meditation that's encouraged by Lord Chaitanya effectively, right? So, but we on the special, you know, on the appearance day of Lord Nrisimhadeva, of Ram, Varaha, who's the other one? Trivikram, we celebrate those days with remembrance, basically. And for those of us who didn't grow up in India, it's all out of the pages of the Bhagavatam. So I apologize for my ignorance. Anything else? Any other reflections, thoughts?
Probably. So just about the point you said, people sometimes say Rama exploited animals and monkeys like that.
Yeah.
So actually in Ramayana, of course, Hanuman always treats Ram like his master.
Yes.
But a couple of occasions in Ramayana, especially when Hanuman brought the Sanjeevani mountain, Rama hugs him. And then calls him actually son. Similarly, when Hanuman goes to Lanka and he meets Sita Devi and shows him the ring, she also calls Hanuman as son.
Son?
And, yeah. So, and then also it is said in Hanuman Chalisa, it is said, Ashta Siddhi Navaniti Ke Data Asavardina Janaki Mata. So, Janaki, Mother Sita is so happy with Hanuman that she actually gave him the Ashta Siddhi and Navanidhis as a blessing. So it said that like that. Yeah.
Special.
Yeah.
Huh? Special devotee. Yeah. And you know, that's that mood of service that makes him stand out as such a wonderful devotee. And so therefore empowered by Ram. Yeah, otherwise, you know, if you criticize Ram for exploiting the monkeys, then that means Krishna's exploiting all of us. Right? We're ultimately Krishna's monkeys. Yeah. Anything else? Any other thoughts, reflections from anyone? Guruji, give him the mic.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. But you just mentioned Sita Mata exile, like Lord Rama, when the Dhobi man, you know, he raised his voice, and because of that, Lord Rama, you know, sent Sita Mata. Of course, they had a mutual consent as well. As a devotee, how we think this incident, like a lot of criticize outside as well, people say this and that, and when we see the character of Lord Rama and how he, what he did, is a bit challenge.
I think here's my response to that. Prabhupada doesn't really comment he doesn't write a purport on this point. So what does that tell us? It's something that we can meditate on and consider. It's what happened, right? It's and there's a lesson in it, I think, and that is, at least for me anyway, is that Lord Ram's character is deeply absorbed in establishing Dharma, right? Religiosity. He's unique for that characteristic. And so, and yet we know from the pastime that both Ram and Sita were inseparable because they're the because that's who they are, right? And so Sita entered into the earth after feelings of deep separation from Ram, and then Ram performed Jagya for 13,000 years or something, right? Wasn't it after her disappearance? So we see the stoic, do you know what I mean by stoic? That perseverant, determined character of a Dharma Raja. And but we also see his deep affection for Sita at the same time as well. So why Prabhupada says at the beginning, he says the pastimes of Sita and Ram are to teach us the nature of attachment and the suffering that it produces. Now, what do? We just need to meditate on that, think about that, right? And not judge. Prabhupada doesn't even mention any of these controversial perspectives on the nature of the, you know, of the pastimes. But they're just described, and Prabhupada doesn't even comment on it. So if Prabhupada doesn't comment on it, this is how I take it, we need to just then meditate on that and try to understand it from a, you know, from the perspective of our philosophy, right? From a philosophical angle. And Prabhupada says it. Attachment between a husband and a wife causes distress. Have you noticed? Have you noticed? Right? Now, if that relationship is based on Dharma, right? If the husband and the wife are engaged in that relationship as we are in our relationship with our spiritual master and is based on service, then it deepens affection ultimately and appreciation, right? If we as males are approaching a relationship to exploit, and if the women are approaching a relationship to exploit, then it's degradation for all of us, right? But if it's based on bhakti, devotional service, ultimately that means service to the guru, right? For all of us, ultimately, service to the children, effectively. And what's the service to the children? What? Oh, another point that I didn't mention. I just remembered. When Ram was the king, what did he do? When he was the emperor and he was crowned as the emperor, what did he do? He sent Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughna out into the empire to subjugate the surrounding kings, right? To honour Ram as the emperor. Right? And so Prabhupada makes the point. He said, after coronation, Ram and his brothers didn't just sit on their laurels and take it easy. Ram stayed and gave his association and his advice and support to the citizens of Ayodhya, and his brothers went out to conquer the other kingdoms and have everybody be acknowledge Ram and ultimately become devotees effectively. So Prabhupada makes the point that in the Krishna consciousness movement, our responsibility is not to sit at home and just chant Hare Krishna, right, and be comfortable, but our role is to go out and make others devotees. This is really what we should be doing, which is epitomised by Ram subjugating all of the other kings and again establishing Dharma, right, within the. And so ultimately the establishment of Dharma within the kingdom is to do what? Make devotees, right? If following the Varnashram principles, the principles of Sanatan Dharma. So our responsibility, especially to the community, our community in Melbourne, is to be, good devotees, follow Dharma, and for the benefit of for others, and ultimately that means, for most of us, our children. Huh? And make them devotees, effectively. And especially also book distribution. Why are we doing book distribution? Why are we doing Harinam? Is to help bring others to devotional service. So make them devotees as well. So when our mood of service is established in pure motivation, right, of service, then the relationship between the husband and wife is supportive, and at some point our hearts will be broken by separation, right? It's going to happen. If it's going to happen to all of us at some point in time, right? But and even, you know, bringing up children, that's not always a huge amount of enjoyment, right? We have our challenges. But if we approach all of that with the right mood, with the right mentality, and with a certain degree of detachment, because that's what the pain of material existence teaches us, then our spiritual advancement is assured, right? So we have to meditate on the reality of some of these things, right? And Prabhupada says that the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra teach us these lessons. You'll fall in love, but you'll be broken-hearted. Ouch! I thought we would live happily ever after. But the amazing thing is that as devotees, even though we have that pain of material existence, actually to always offset that, we have the amrita of the namamrita, right? We always have the balm, if you like, the cooling effect of chanting Hare Krishna. So when we chant Hare Krishna, the difficulties of material existence dissolve effectively, right? And our affection for bhakti, our affection for the devotees, right, deepens and deepens and deepens, and it just becomes more relishable. Right? The pain of material existence doesn't go away, right? Material life is always going to be some form of difficulty. But if we keep chanting Hare Krishna and if we keep serving, and that we serve in that mood of pure motivation, a desire just to serve, then we find that our satisfaction and our happiness actually increases. That's odd, isn't it? I don't know if you've noticed that. If we serve in that mood of not wanting anything for ourselves, but just wanting pleasure for Krishna and Krishna's devotees, then somehow or another our pleasure increases. So we meditate on the pastimes and that's a bit odd. Especially, see, we come from a culture, even, you know, modern culture is don't exploit women. Right? And all of that. And so when we see some of the pastimes that we read in the Bhagavatam, when we try to correlate that with the modern conception of how things should be, then right? So we've got to be careful of bringing our own misconceptions and see things from the spiritual platform as is recommended by the Bhagavatam. When there's no purport, we just accept it and have to meditate on it to understand it and appreciate it. Okay. We've got half an hour to Abhishek. Gancharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai, Sri Ram Navami Ki Jai, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Prabhu Ki Jai.